not going to be here. I'm going to be at Nerdtacular. Oh, no. Hang on. Drop the... Hang on. Earphones. Can't hear you, Ryan. Don't talk to me. Okay, now you can talk to me.
It's good. I was singing. I was like, oh, she's going to get angry when she hears this.
Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Yay, you're back.
I am back. You were lost without me, I know.
Well, I mean, if you listen to the episode, me and Paul had a pretty good time.
I know, you made fun of me a lot, actually.
Did we?
Well, enough that I noticed.
Aw, I'm sorry. We were just kidding around.
Oh, it's fine, it's fine.
I should re-listen to the episode. I don't remember.
I know I crack the whip sometime, especially when it comes to quickfire news, so
oh.
I deserve it.
Yeah, that'll continue to be a mentioned every time you guys like, we better keep this quick, eh, Paul? Nudge, nudge. So you kind of brought that one on yourself.
Yeah, I know. And then there was a whole bunch of Nintendo stuff that you were like, well, since Jocelyn's not here, we can talk about Nintendo. I was like, you can also talk about Nintendo. I'm just going to shoot it down.
Yeah. You also brought that on yourself, so I don't feel bad anymore. So, yeah, well, a little bit.
So, speaking of Nintendo, I see you have something Nintendo-ish to talk about.
Yes, with your permission, I would love to talk about Club Nintendo.
Permission denied, moving on.
It's really cool. You get free shit.
Oh, okay, well, if it's free shit, then continue.
So, for those familiar with buying Nintendo games, not Jocelyn, but me, for example, whenever you buy a Nintendo first-party title, you get this little slip that says, enter this code online, and, you know, for Club Nintendo. And basically, when you register certain games, you get a certain amount of points, and you can also do surveys and stuff to get more points. And those points are used in exchange for items, free items, free shipping. I just ordered a... what appears to be a thicker 3DS case, and it's got like interchangeable covers, and can hold up to 18 3DS cards. So like just like niche, cool like little items that you can get from Club Nintendo for free. Like they have a bunch of stuff. Like they have like Wiimote straps that are like specific to characters, and they have like calendars and stuff, and. At the end
Do they
of
have anything that anyone would actually want?
Well, I mean, that's just it. Like, the game case is something that I wanted because I can either carry around, like, 12 3DS carts, you know, shove the ones I like into the 3DS and into this small case I have, or carry around one plastic case with all my games in it. So that's useful. But no, you're right. A lot of it is kind of useless crap, which is probably why I have a bunch of points just sitting there collecting dust.
At least you have the points and you haven't used them for all the useless crap. It's better to have the points sitting there instead of a pile of useless crap in your room.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason I used it is because it's one of their more popular items, and the reason I used it is because those points were expiring, so I wanted to throw it at something.
Oh, I hate points that expire. So not fair.
Well, it was, like, I think they expired because I've had them there for, like, 5 years, so...
I guess that's not too bad, then.
No, not really.
So, Ryan, you may have noticed that I sound different this week.
No.
Oh, damn it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I sound different this week because I am now in Halifax.
Woo! So I thought I could hear the Atlantic Ocean in the background.
Yes, you can totally hear the ocean from here.
No, sorry.
I was like, is he done? Or?
It's a Simpsons reference. I could go on, but I'll let you continue.
So anyways, I am now living in Halifax, so I'm using Joel's fancy podcasting mic. So big changes, good changes. I'm excited. And then on Friday, I am going to Nerdtacular, so I am just jet-setting all over the continent this week.
Jeez, you can't just stay in one place very long, can you?
I can't. I get bored really fast, so yep, all over the place. So yeah, I'm flying from Halifax to Toronto to Chicago to Salt Lake City. And on the way back, we're going Salt Lake City to San Francisco to Toronto and then to Halifax. So literally from coast to coast, I'm pretty excited.
So are you like doing any layover stuff in San Fran or Chicago, or is it just kind of like a 2-hour wait?
I think it's a couple hours. We have like 3 hours in Toronto on the way there, but we have to go through customs. So, we did that on purpose. But, as far as the layover in San Francisco, I'm not quite sure how long it is.
That'd be a cool city to explore.
It would be, but, Joel doesn't travel much, so I don't really think he'd want to leave the airport.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with him. I mean, the only knowledge I have, about planes is based on movies and video games, so I'm not very well versed in that sort of thing.
It's not the same as in movies and video games.
Oh, good.
There's a whole lot less hijacking.
And less Nick Cage, right?
Yes.
Well, it depends if you're flying through LA, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know. I don't think we're taking any prison airplanes, but we'll see.
Oh, Con Air.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. She got the reference. That's how you know. This episode's going to be awesome.
Aren't all our episodes awesome? I mean, come on.
This is the first episode where we mentioned Nick Cage, so, and Con Air, specifically.
So, the other thing I wanted to talk about before we got into what we're playing,
yeah,
I was actually going to talk about this as what I was playing, because I picked up 3 games a couple days ago, and I was super excited about them until I got up to the counter. And so, I'm at EB, which is GameStop, but it's still branded as EB, the one I went to anyways, and I go up to the counter, and there's a guy who's probably slightly older than me, but not too old, and he looks at me, and he looks at the games, and I picked up Harry Potter, which, okay, you know, Harry Potter, kind of girly, but whatever. Picked up Harry Potter, picked up Oblivion, the Game of the Year edition, because I don't actually have it on my Xbox, and I picked up the first Mass Effect, and I was so excited, because I was like, yes, I wanted a hard copy of this game so badly, I didn't want to download it from Microsoft, so I was super pumped. So I walked up to the counter, I hand him the stuff and I said, please tell me that you have the actual disc, that this isn't just like the case that's out on the shelf or something, right? And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, we probably have it. And then goes into the, like, his shuffling in the back and stuff. And then, so he checks me out, everything else. He gives me the games, gives me the receipt, and goes, whoever you're giving these to, make sure you give them the receipt as well, because in case they want to return them. I was like, are you effing kidding me? Like, you see how excited I am about this game that I'm about to purchase, and then you just assume that, what, because I'm a chick, I'm giving them to someone else? What? I was so angry. I was so angry that I left the store and went and sat right outside the store, checked in on Foursquare, and then tweeted about how they were jerks.
And then went back in and said, sir, may I have my games back? Did you? Because it didn't sound like you paid for it, right? You did.
I did. Okay, I paid for it and then left. Yeah.
Oh, I thought
you're kidding me. I had a copy of Mass Effect in my hands. I was not gonna let that go. I've been looking for that for months.
Right, because I forgot that you purchased Mass Effect on the PC, right?
Yes, I have Mass Effect on the PC, but I really wanted to play through on the Xbox so that I had a character I brought all the way through. But then I didn't want to download it from Microsoft because I felt that $30 for a downloadable game that was years old is kind of ridiculous. So,
yeah. And jumping back to the EB thing, I think everybody has those similar experiences with retail people in general. Like, I kind of went into a bit of a rant when I bought Pikmin 2, it wasn't a similar situation, but it was just someone who really didn't know what was going on, and I got frustrated. And it sounds like...
The Walmart story?
Yeah, and I mean, that wasn't really her fault. I was being a dick, but besides the point.
I was not being a dick. I was being an enthusiastic gamer.
I'm saying I was being... You were fine. You were totally in the right, and I think that's just a classic example of someone who just isn't... I don't know. They just... They're not up with the times. I mean, I see those people at EB too. Like, not all of them are like that. It's just some people are like, you know, oh, well, here's your game. Well, you know, it's annoying. And I've had similar situations where I go in and I actually bought the Gunstringer on Kinect when it came out. And it was a new game, not very well known because it's a Kinect title and budget title. And I went in, hey, do you guys have Gunstringer? He's like, oh yeah, I think we have it. And he walks over to the shelf, grabs an empty case, and then he starts to pull out this disc in a sleeve, take it out of the sleeve and put it in the display case. And I'm like, do you guys not have an unopened copy? And he's like, no, we open all our games and put them out. What do you think we're going to do, leave them out there so they get stolen? And I'm like, no, dude, I want a sealed copy. I'm not questioning why you leave empty cases out. It was just a similar situation where the guy is being an arrogant ass, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for how you guys do business. I asked a simple question as to why you don't have any sealed copies.
Which usually they do. They have, like, a set that they open, and then they just leave those empty cases out, and then they have sealed copies behind the counter. Like, I don't understand what was wrong with that dude.
Yeah, and I want to say that not all people who work at EB are like that. There's just a select few. I mean, I had a buddy who used to work at EB, and greatest guy you could ever know, and he rocked it when he worked the EB counter. Like, you could have conversations with him about video games, and he'd be honest with you. He'd say, oh, you probably don't want to buy that for your kid, you probably want to buy this for your kid, you know, complete opposite of all the horror stories. And I think
I've met some really awesome chicks that have worked at EB. Like, when I go in there and there's women working, like, they're awesome. We end up staying there talking for hours. But for some reason, it's like all the dudes that I've ever met that work at EB are jerks. And I know that that's a big sweeping statement, but I did say that I have met. So every time I go in there and there's a dude behind the counter, like, forget it. They assume I'm buying things for my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So okay. Frustrating.
Well, I know that's a sweeping comment, and I will say, though, that I've seen women who work at EB, and they've always been great customer service, perfect, you know, but it's usually, like, the odd dude. And I think EB, as long as it wasn't a 15-minute bitch fest, which this is turning out to be, I think it would be interesting to have, like, a conversation about retail and video games and, you know, where is the best place to buy your game, how do you avoid people like this, and it might be interesting maybe if we could get a guest who's, like, familiar with working video game retail. Maybe I could talk to my buddy, but I don't know. I think that would be interesting. But it can't be a bitch fest.
Fair enough. Speaking of buddies, I thought that I would just throw my thoughts in before we get into what we're playing on your buddy talk with Swick last week about E3. So yeah, I thought you guys did a great job. I was so upset that we didn't have enough time to do it in our E3 episode to cover all those titles, because the last four games that you guys covered last week, they were huge.
Yeah, they were pretty big, and I mean, we had time, but we didn't have time in the sense that we didn't want a two-hour episode.
Well, exactly, yeah. So there were two that I wanted to just cover quickly with you. So, Zombie U for the Wii U. I think it could be good.
Well, note the timestamp, people. Write that down.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, it could be good. We'll see. I'm glad that Nintendo is finally going a little bit more mature with their game. I wasn't a big fan of the controller, the break free thing that you do, that if a zombie grabs you, then you just kind of shake the controller. I was like, damn it. Waggle!
I have a bad feeling about shaking what looks to be a $100 controller.
Oh, yeah.
With like a breakable
someone's
screen.
Someone's going to throw that across the room, and it's going to break, and it's going to be awful.
Well, yeah.
But some parts of it did look cool. The Wii U controller, anyways. Does it have a fancy name? I haven't been paying that close of attention. But anyways, to enter stuff on the keypad, like when you're trying to enter the keypad to get through a door or something, having to do that down on your hand is pretty cool. I like that. Holding it up to be your sniper rifle is cool. And having it be your inventory, I thought was interesting. And I mean, inventory is kind of what everybody said that it would be used for anyway. Mm-hmm. But so that wasn't really surprising. But a couple of things I thought were really, really stupid was when you hold it up to be the scanner or the night vision. And I was just like, okay, the last thing that I want between me and my screen is another screen. Like, that's just, it's so pimp my ride. Yo, I hear you like screens, so I put some screens in your screens so that you can have more screens. No!
It's very good channeling of Exhibit there.
Thank you.
Yeah, the interesting part about Zombie U is that recently Ubisoft has gone on record saying, like, yeah, this could come to other platforms. And then right there, it kind of kills the mood, right? It's like, oh, I thought this would be a Wii U exclusive. Like, if there's any Wii U exclusive that would convince people to buy the system on launch, this would probably be it. Because it's not like a niche product, It's not like this, like, specific product like Pikmin 3 that appeals to, like, these certain people. Zombie U is a hardcore zombie game that, and Zombie is mass market. So
They said they were going cross-platform, or there was the potential for it to go cross-platform at E3, didn't they? Like on the third day or something?
Yeah, it was kind of like a, you know, not at launch. I mean, there will be a window of exclusivity if they do decide to port it. But it would work on other platforms, like with Smart Glass and Vita cross-play. Yeah.
So, the other one I wanted to talk about was Assassin's Creed 3. So, when we were talking about the feedback question a couple of weeks ago with the titles going to the Wii U as well, I think this is a great example. But the thing is that if I don't have all the Assassin's Creed titles available to me on the Wii, I probably won't switch systems to play it on the Wii U. You know what I mean? Like, if I've been playing Assassin's Creed on PlayStation for all the previous titles, I'm not going to then go, oh, I'm going to play it on the Wii U. I'm going to play it where I've always played it.
Why?
Well, why? What's the incentive to switch to the Wii U?
I mean, I guess I'm just flipping it. Like, what's the incentive? Like, I mean, the incentive to switch to the Wii U is, for me, to have another game to play on my new console. I mean,
That's the thing. This isn't enough to make me buy the new console, and if I'm already used to playing on a PlayStation or an Xbox, I'm used to the controls and everything else, then why would I buy a new console, have to relearn everything I already learned, because it's going to be similar, obviously. I don't think that it's not enough, again, to make me go to buy a Wii U or even buy the title on my existing console. Like, I don't think, especially with Smart Glass, I don't think that there's any reason for you to pick it up on Nintendo. I mean, if I can get it just with my existing, like, whatchamacallit, tablet-y thingy with my existing console, then why?
Well, I don't think Ubisoft has really talked about, like, Wii U specifics. It's kind of just like, it'll run as good or better than the other titles, but not enough to say, pick it up on Wii U. Like, I'm sure the online is not going to be on par, you know? And you're definitely right, but I still see it as a plus, but you're right.
I do agree. It's still a plus, and I am glad that the Wii U is a little bit of a more quote unquote hardcore system this time around. But it's still, I mean, they need some exclusive titles, I think, more so than just, oh, now we can play with the big boys and oh, look at our zombie game. They've got to step it up, but. But it looks like they're trying, at least. So I'll give them that. They're trying.
For sure.
So what have you been playing this week, Ryan?
I've had a really busy week. And then, on the weekend, I picked up Pocket Planes on iOS. And this is sort of like this weird game that's popped up. And, everybody's addicted to it. And it's so great. And it's actually a new game from the Tiny Tower developers. So we all remember Tiny Towers last year around this same time where everybody was playing it and everyone was calling it crack. Well, I think Pocket Planes is like bath salts, you know. It's not, you know, if Tiny Towers is crack, Pocket Planes, you know, they could put that on the box art.
This will make you eat your friends' faces. Miami!
And then you'll take your sunglasses off. You shouldn't really be playing with sunglasses. It's a game where you manage, like, the world's air travel system. So you're, like, you pick a home base. I picked, obviously, like, U.S. East. And you start, like, buying up airports with your coins. And you have these airplanes. And you kind of say, okay, this airplane's based in Detroit. He's going to take this dude to Vancouver. This other airplane's based, you know, it's kind of managing. You manage based on... airplanes have, like, room for people or cargo or both, depending on how far you get. I'm about, like, level 10, and I have, like, airplanes that'll carry, like, 4 pieces of cargo, and it's kind of... You get bonuses for, like, sending all the cargo to one place, so that's kind of interesting. And it's a time-based thing where you set up all your moves, then come back to the game in half an hour. It is free. It's a freemium title, so you can buy... what I think they are calling, I'm going to call bucks. They're like green dollar bills.
Yeah, it was bucks in Tiny Towers too. So is there a way to earn bucks? Because in Tiny Tower, if you like put one of your citizens in their dream job, then you got like 3 tower bucks. So can you do that in this game as well, or is it strictly you have to pay for them?
You can earn bucks. It seems to be a little easier to earn bucks in this one than it was in Tiny Tower. I remember Tiny Tower was sort of like a random, you know, some people would come up the elevator and tip you a buck rather than money, I think it was.
Right. It was easy at the beginning, and then they made it harder as time went on because there was kind of a bit of a cheat in that if you could put your citizen in their dream job, you get $3. And then you could kick them out of the tower, you get a new citizen, and then they have a dream job. So it was like you could get them a whole bunch of times, basically. It got to be a little cheaty. So they changed it, I think, from $3 to $1.
Oh.
I think. Yeah, so...
Well, the bucks are used to, like, there's a marketplace. You use the bucks to buy airplanes. So you can buy faster airplanes, airplanes that have more seating, more cargo space. But you can also buy parts to build airplanes. And the way I've been kind of playing is, like, when you buy a new airport, you get a free piece of a free part. And then when you go to the marketplace, I only buy parts for parts that I have for specific airplanes, right? So there's a bit of strategy there. You can kind of do different methods. But the real cool part, I didn't explain where bucks come in. You get bucks by transporting specific people or cargo. So usually people or cargo will give you gold, but sometimes it's like, hey, if you bring me across the country, I'll give you a couple bucks. So it's kind of random in that sense. But one of the coolest parts that I haven't really experienced yet but is cool in theory, it's like these world events, and you join flight crews. I guess the Frog Pants Network has a flight crew under like Frog Pants, but I didn't know that until this one ended, and I was on the Touch Arcade crew, which is number one in the world.
Woo!
And basically, it is with this past one, there was a world event in some country in Europe, and it was like a film studio thing. And basically, when you buy that airport, you get these jobs that come up. And every time you complete a job, it adds to your team's world rank. And then at the end of the three-day event, they tally up all the ranks. And then, like, the top team gets a free plane and $10. And then it just moves down from there. And it goes to, like, top three, top 10, and then top 1,000 or something. So it's a neat little incentive to kind of, you know, interact with other people. So, but it seems kind of one-sided because basically, well, Touch Arcade is winning, so I'm just going to join that team, right?
Right.
Whereas why would I want to join, besides playing with my friends, why would I want to join with a team that isn't winning, right? So I haven't seen that yet. But yeah, it's kind of been an addiction. So I advise you all not to pick this one up.
Except pick this one up so you have friends to play with?
See, I'm conflicted. I don't want to send you guys down this dark path of eating people's faces off. It's not healthy. Not healthy. But you've been playing something a little less addictive, maybe. Darksiders, how's that going?
It's going pretty well. I'm still enjoying it. I feel so bad because I haven't played much in the last week either. I've been all over the place, so... but I did play a little bit a couple weeks ago, and we didn't get to talk about it because of our E3 talk, and then I was away last week. So I have been playing a bit of Darksiders. So I got through the big guy with the hammer, Ulthane, I think. So I went to go get him, and then we had to fight a bunch of angels, which up until now I've just been fighting demons most of the time. So fighting the angels was interesting, but really, really hard. I spent most of the level almost, like, pretty much dead. And so I just kept, like, I'd run in and I'd, like, hit stuff a bunch of times, and then I'd almost die, and then I'd kind of run away and then try to, you know, get my health back somehow. And, like, it was, or, like, just kind of take cover for a bit and then run out and, like, hit the guy again. So it was, really, really tedious. I died a bunch of times, and I was like, oh, this is stupid. So eventually I got through it, and I kept playing, and then when I was doing the notes, because I couldn't remember the name of the dude, I looked it up on like the IGN walkthrough or something, and it was like, oh yeah, this part's really easy, you just have to use the cannon to blah blah blah, and I was like, cannon? What the F? So apparently I missed something, some big weapon that I was supposed to use on them that would have made the whole thing really, really easy. So, I mean, there's no penalty because there's like a kill count of you and the big guy with the hammer. And so I was like, I don't know, 15 or 20 kills behind him. And I was like, oh man, this is stupid. I feel so inadequate.
You got owned by...
Yeah, I got owned by the freaking computer. So disappointing. But it's because I couldn't find this big cannon weapon, because apparently you're supposed to be able to just like decimate your angels on your path, and then you're supposed to be able to turn and help him out on his side. So, but it was totally the other way around, is I was still trying to kill things and he's like, hurry up, hurry up, why haven't you come over to my side yet, hurry up. And I was like, shut up, they're beating me really badly right now. Why don't you come over to my side and help?
So. Yeah, it's really hard to kill these angels when you're nagging at me.
Exactly. What are you, my wife?
Come on, if I wanted this, I'd go home. Oh, that's
so, yeah,
wrong.
And then, so I got through that part, and then you, like, have this big confrontation with this one angel chick, and then you go into this, the next dungeon, basically, and because Ulthane won't help you or give you his hammer or something, whatever, unless you kill the Griever. So I had round one with the Griever, and then he goes and runs away, and then I got stuck. I think I just didn't find the right door or something, and I've been playing for a while, and it was right after my angel encounter, and I was like, screw you, Darksiders. So then I kind of gave up. But it's just the next dungeon, so I just have to find the key to open the next door kind of thing. So, but I'm looking forward to getting back to it. I am really enjoying it as much as I bitch and complain about the angel fight, but it was fun.
That's what makes it interesting, like describing the hard. Games aren't hard very often these days, but it kind of sounds like you're like borderline frustrating hard. It's not like, is it?
Well, and it, like, the reasons that it was hard and I was frustrated is totally because I missed something. Like, it's not the game. It's just like I didn't pick something up that I was supposed to pick up, or possibly I didn't buy the weapon from Volcrum, I think, the demon guy that transports you around the world and stuff. Oh, and yeah. he sells you things for souls. So it's possible that I just didn't buy the right upgrade for one of my weapons or something. So, because cool. I have this habit where I go around and I collect whatever the currency is for the game. And then I just kind of store it like a pack rat. And I never buy anything because I'm always like, oh, but what if I spend all my stuff and then there's something really awesome and I can't get it? So... I generally don't buy upgrades in games, and I totally pay for it.
It's weird with upgrades. I would always go for upgrades of whatever I'm using, like my favorite weapon at the time. But then my old roommate had noticed this trend and said, you know what's a good tactic for upgrading? Upgrade your health, your armor, and your starting pistol. Or whatever your starting weapon is. And like, start with those three and you'll always have success. Because you're always using health and armor, and your starting weapon is the one you're most familiar with. So you should upgrade that one first. I thought that was really good advice.
That's great advice. I'll probably take it. Because now I have my big, huge sword. Chaos Eater, I think.
Mm.
And I have my big scythe thing. Which is pretty cool, too. And I love how all the weapons are bigger than I am. It makes me feel really badass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the Final Fantasy trope, right?
Yes.
Where everybody has weapons way too big for their physique.
Well, I am like one of the, what are they, horsemen of the apocalypse. So, I mean, I should have crazy powers and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So what else have you been playing this week? Or playing with, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Oh, actually, I don't want to know what you've been playing with.
Oh, you could have just left it and it would have been fine. On that note, Smart Glass, or Smart Ass, as I like to say. That was demoed at E3, kind of like, oh, I don't really know how this is going to work. And quickly, Microsoft has released an update to their iOS app, My Xbox Live. And basically what it allows you to do, it's iPhone only at this point. I know it's universal for iPad, but they haven't added that functionality to it. But basically what it allows you to do is connect your iPhone to your Xbox. You have to turn the Xbox on with the controller, with your finger and the power button. But from there, you can connect it, and then you can quick launch things. So I was able to like quick launch Netflix, quick launch any game that I've played in the past thing, which is neat and like, ooh, that's kind of cool. But is it useful? I don't really think so. I mean, maybe I want to launch my game when I'm cooking dinner. But it gets a lot more interesting when you start looking at the mini controller app. Inside the iOS app, you can go to the options and then bring up, you can hit controller and it takes over the app and you have the D-pad and then the four surface buttons. And it's kind of, it works. I mean, it's functional and it's not going to allow you to play Mass Effect with your iPhone as a controller. But what it allows you to do is basically use Netflix as if you have a TV remote in your hand. You know, you're not using the controller. You're just kind of navigating with a touchpad. It's really neat. And I think it's, right at this point, it's kind of a proof of concept. It's not really super useful. But if they add the ability for me to type using the iOS app, it's, you know, no-brainer, best thing ever invented, right?
Oh, yeah, because, well, typing, I even have the attachment for the controller that has the keyboard on it, and even typing on that, like, the buttons are so stiff, and they're still super tiny, right? So, oh, yeah, typing on the Xbox, no fun.
Yeah, so if they add, like, the virtual keyboard on the iOS app to allow you to, like, input codes or, like, type messages, I think that would, well, it's obviously the next step, but at this point, it's a really cool first showing of Smart Glass, and I think anyone who has an iPhone should really just try it and see if you like it.
Cool. Well, I have the existing Xbox Live app, but sorry, was this a new app completely or an update to the old one?
This is an update to the old one. Cool. Yeah, the Microsoft My Xbox Live app. I think it's like version 1.5 now.
So, yeah. I see. Oh, well, then it must have updated for me today because I did all my app updates today. So, exciting times.
Mm-hmm.
So, finally, in what we're playing, I played Diablo 3, which I'm still so far behind. I saw a news story, I think it was yesterday or today, saying that the first person, a Canadian, actually, has beat, I guess it's Hardcore Infernal.
Ooh.
Difficulty, I guess. The one where, like, if you basically just die if you get hit once kind of thing.
Ugh. That sounds awful.
Yeah, so apparently the first person to do it, it happened just, like, yesterday or today. And I was kind of like, wow, that's intense. Like, to go all the way through Diablo 3 without getting touched, basically, by any bad guys.
I wonder how many times he died.
I was just thinking that. It would be interesting to see, like, I don't know. Do they keep stats like that? Can you see how many times you died on a given...
I don't...
Oh, no, it totally resets your playthrough every time, right? Like, you die and that's it.
But, I mean, I wonder if Blizzard... I mean, maybe... I don't know how hard... I've never tried Hardcore and whether it keeps a record of how many Hardcore characters you've tried to do, but I want... Blizzard could definitely pull up those numbers and tell us how many times the guy, like, lost a character before he beat it.
Right.
So...
Because, yeah, it would be really interesting to see.
Yeah. Did they say what class he used? Or she? I guess I don't want to... It was a he, right? Or
I believe so, but I'm not sure. It was just it was a tweet. I didn't see... Like, I didn't read the actual... I didn't go into the whole story, but all I read is, like, Canadian gamer, first to beat Diablo 3 on blah, blah, Hardcore Infernal or whatever. So, or Inferno, sorry. Which I just thought was super cool. But, yeah, so, I mean... That just really highlights how far behind in D3 I am because I'm still on normal in Act 2. So, but on the plus side, like Joel and I are leveling up somewhat, but with the new patch update, when we played, it was actually so much better. Like it made such a huge difference with his Mac. So he wasn't lagging at all and we had a way better experience because before it'd be like I would run down the hallway and then he would still be at the beginning of the hallway and then all of a sudden like 5 seconds later he would like glitch to be standing where I was, so I had to keep, you know, stopping, waiting, and then he would catch up eventually. And like to him it would be a little bit jaggy, not nearly as bad as it looked on my end, but still, I mean, it was so hard for us to do combat and everything else. So the update made a big difference. So I was pretty happy about that. So yeah, we're still in Act 2. So we're in the desert, which is just, it's kind of bland and annoying. Like, I mean, it's just brown, right? So the environment isn't as fun to interact with. Plus those stupid bug things, which I think we talked about a few weeks ago. Like, oh my god, the fact that you can't kill their little torpedo mini bugs makes me angry.
Yeah, you have to get out of the way pretty quick. That's a, I mean, I've been playing. Well, I haven't played in weeks, so I'm letting you catch up. But playing that on Nightmare, like those bugs, like if you're not used to it, they'll kill you in 3 or 4 hits.
Yeah.
So they are very annoying.
So annoying. But we did kill the evil witch chick, and so I think we're about 3/4 of the way. Like, so basically, like, the mini-boss of Act 2 we beat, and then we got, I think, we're coming up on the final boss. So ooh. I think we had the final dungeon to go through, but we pretty much, we accidentally went all the way through a dungeon that we'd already done. So, because I think it was, it'd been like a week or so because of me moving, so I didn't have time to play. So we kind of forgot where we were, so ended up replaying a dungeon. So it was kind of a time killer. But yeah, I mean, it'll probably be a while until we get to play again because my computer is still in Ontario, so we can't exactly play together anyways. Well, I don't have a computer because there's no way I'm going to try to run it on my little netbook. I think it would probably just explode in my lap and that wouldn't be pleasant.
No, but you know, you could always just steal his laptop and use it.
Well, yeah, but then we wouldn't be playing together and that would make me sad.
You just made that depressing. I was trying to make a joke about you stealing it and playing and then, yeah, way to ruin it.
It was a bad joke.
Okay, yeah, we'll move on then, fine.
So, quick fire news. There's a rumor that we are going to get a BioShock Ultimate bundle. The bundle has been outed in the UK by the British Board of Film Classification when it was given a rating of 18. The bundle will include BioShock, BioShock 2, and all the DLC for the two titles. There is no word yet on a release date, although it would likely come before BioShock Infinite, which launches in February 2013. Also, no word if this is a bundle exclusive to Europe or if it will be available worldwide.
First look at Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs. The Dark Descent is seen as one of the scariest games one could play. Searching YouTube, it's also one of the funniest games to watch someone else play. And now we can live that magic all over again with a new trailer for the Zom What Is That in the Corner sequel. A Machine for Pigs will launch this fall, perhaps in time for Extra Life. By the nine, I really hope not.
Diablo 3 Real Money Auction House opens for business. The Diablo 3 Real Money Auction House is officially open. Players can choose a transaction. Wait. Oh, shoot. I shouldn't write these things on my freaking netbook. I can't see writing. Players can choose on a transaction-by-transaction basis if they would like to auction their items for in-game gold or real money. Blizzard created the Real Money Auction House to improve the player experience by keeping them off insecure third-party trading sites.
SWTOR to go free-to-play? In a recent interview... Sorry. It's fine. No, it's good. In a recent interview, lead technical designer Emmanuel Luzinchi stated that the MMO market is very dynamic, and we need to be dynamic as well. Emmanuel then went on to say that BioWare is looking at free-to-play, but couldn't go further into detail. He admitted that the development team needed to be flexible and to stay on target, then yelled, "It's a trap!" and ran out of the room.
The Sims 3 Supernatural Expansion. The Sims 3, one of my favorite titles, has announced a new expansion pack called Supernatural, which is due out in September. The expansion will include witches, werewolves, fairies, and better vampires. And at least the werewolves are creatable and fully playable creatures. This is an interesting move for the franchise, as the reason given for creating The Sims Medieval was that the medieval theme did not fit into the modern Sims world. I'm not sure if they figure times have changed or that somehow werewolves and vampires have some modern appeal. Twilight.
Rayman Legends co-op mode detailed. Many people were disappointed by E3 and how Wii U was shown off. However, one note for the newcomer is how Ubisoft chose to show off the hardware. The new character in Legends is Murphy, who holds most of the power in the co-op mode and is controlled using the gamepad, while up to 4 other characters are controlled using the pro controllers. Murphy is able to manipulate the environment to hopefully aid players in their quest for the end goal, although one false move and it's bye-bye Rayman. A sad note, however, is that Rayman Legends has no confirmed online co-op, but from the sounds of it, couch communication will prove to be key in this wacky platformer.
We have a new Mass Effect multiplayer weekend coming up. Operation Savage asks us to kill 7 million trooper-level enemies. The squad goal is to get extracted using a mixture of Krogan, Vorcha, and Batarian classes. Commendation and victory packs abound.
Achievements get more useful this fall. Welcome to Achievement Whores Anonymous. My name is Ryan Murphy, and I'm an achievement whore. It's been 2 weeks since my last achievement, and today was one of my most difficult days. I just read online that Microsoft will be expanding their Xbox Live Rewards program this fall to include rewards earned by achievements. This is different from earning avatar items and other useless crap, but we can actually win space bucks. It's like they can read our minds, Jocelyn.
I want to win space bucks!
Yeah, we're going to relapse.
I have to also say, I love the avatar items.
I do too. But it all depends on what you win, right?
That's true. I think I won, like, the pants from Fable 3 or something, and I was like, why am I going to wear those big puffy pirate pants with my, like, Mass Effect 3 t-shirt? Come on, Microsoft.
I think the last one I won was a Super Meat Boy t-shirt, and I think that's what my guy is currently wearing. So it's not crap, but I mean, to actually win, like, space bucks, like, real money, I think that would be interesting.
Yep. I'm pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to our topic of the week. And I am going to warn everyone right now that if you thought I had gamer rage in our Mass Effect 3 episode, oh, Nelly, it's about to get a whole lot ragier up in here. So we are going to talk about the expert opinion from the trial of the guy who went on the mass murder spree in Norway. When was that? Last year, I guess?
Yeah, I think it was late last year.
Yeah, so basically they had expert testimony, and I use the term expert very loosely, and they seemed to be fixating on his gaming habits leading up to the massacre. So what the expert quote is that she said, "We feel that playing a lot of computer games gives the impression of a working cognitive function. It is, however, something completely different to relate to something in real life, have committed relationships to other people, arrange meetings, go to work in the morning, have a healthy relationship with a girlfriend, or having common social skills." So,
I can hear it. Jocelyn.
I know, I'm really Jocelyn's trying.
Jocelyn's getting angry.
I'm trying not to rant right now like you have no idea. No. So after giving that opinion, her next point was to say, "I would still like to point out that sitting alone in your room and playing games, no matter what the scope of the matter, call it an addiction or whatnot, it is not normal for a man in his 20s.
Oh. Well, in 5 years, I'll be good, right?
Yeah, you'll be good. Yeah, as long as you're in your teens or your 30s and over, you're good. It's your 20s that this is abnormal.
Well, the 20s is usually reserved for, like, what did she say? Having a real life, having yes. relationships, working. Yeah, you know.
So, first of all, I find this so hypocritical. For her to say, in one breath, say, oh, video games cannot relate to having a normal life and cognitive function and committed relationships and everything else. And then in the next breath say, oh, but video games totally made this guy go explode a bomb and shoot a bunch of people. Like, make up your mind. Just make up your mind. And then she goes on to say that this actually isn't her area of expertise. It's like, if this is not your area of expertise, then why are you the quote-unquote expert witness at this trial? Like, don't comment on his video gaming habits if you're not an expert. Like, just shut your mouth. Shut.
You know, this is not the first time that a so-called expert has commented on video games involving mainstream stories like this. It reminds me specifically of when the first Mass Effect came out, Fox News got a hold of the sex scenes and called the game a sex simulator, and there's this great YouTube clip you can catch. I actually remember it because it was in the Mass Effect Jeff Keighley app. Geoff. Oh man. And it was just this clip of this woman saying, like, I don't believe that this is good for children, and that it says a sex simulator, and I think we need to ban these from the schools and the kids. And then Jeff came in and was like,
don't let our kids get their hands on a sex simulator.
Yeah, and we all, and Jeff basically said to her, I don't think you did your research, because it takes 40 hours to get to that point, and you have a choice whether to do it. You're building a relationship with this character. And she said, well, Jeff, I think I know when my kids are being, you know, they're going to want to see the boobs and the ass, you know? So this is very similar in the sense that this woman, or wait, it's not a woman, is it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Don't even get me started on how bad it looks that the psychiatrist is a woman. I mean, seriously, we don't need to give some people, and I'm not saying all gamers or all male gamers or anything like that, but we don't need to give people another reason to say that women don't understand gaming. And like, this goes back to my whole like GameStop EB experience. Like, oh my God, just stop.
Well, I mean, sex has nothing to do with it. That was an accident on my part, but it just really comes down to knowledge. Like, if this woman or person, this expert, I don't think she's played video games or understands how video games work. Like, here's two great examples right here. Me and you, we play video games. Most of this podcast has been about us not having time to play video games because we're too busy with real life. So,
right.
What does that tell you, lady? Come on.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that they keep coming back to is his gaming habits, and they keep saying that, oh, he used Call of Duty as a training ground, and that's how he learned how to commit mass murder. And I just, you know, I don't understand why people can't grasp that crazy people like video games. Video games do not make people crazy. And he clearly, in his statement, said that I used this game to train for what I was planning to do. He had the plan before he started playing the game, not the other way around. But they keep saying that, you know, gamers or games make people violent. It's like, no, violent people are already violent. They just happen to like video games.
Yeah.
And I'm not a violent person. I'm a very shy, quiet person until I get talking about things that make me ranty. But generally, I'm a very shy, reserved, quiet person. And like, video games don't make me want to go shoot people.
Quite the opposite, you know. Like, I'm agreeing with you. Like, I'm exactly like you. When I shoot somebody in a video game, and then I'm like, fuck, I would not want to do that in real life, you know? Like, because that, it's like, why would I want to see someone's head explode in real life? No, thank you.
In video games, it's fake, it's cartoony, it's, you know, it's just, it's entertainment, it's fun. I don't ever take that into my real life and be like, oh, I wish real life was more like video games. Like, are you kidding me? No, I don't want dragons chasing me and people with big swords coming at me. Like, no, I'm quite happy with my video games staying in the virtual space.
Yeah, I mean, but the issue with media and mainstream stuff is that they've sort of been trained to blame, like, shooting games on, like, these events. I mean, this isn't the first time where someone's done something stupid and killed a bunch of people, and then they find, oh, he had a copy of Doom on his computer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Columbine.
Yeah, Columbine, the shootings at Virginia Tech. I mean, all these sad things that have happened, and then for some reason, like, I mean, video games are mainstream, so, you know, I don't, you know, maybe he had a copy of Avatar, you know, in his apartment. It's like, oh, why didn't they blame that? It's like, oh, it's just a movie, right, you know?
Movies don't make people kill people.
If it was Titanic, then maybe we'd have a story.
Oh, yeah, if it was Titanic, then there's your excuse.
Jack, you could have moved over. Jack should have lived. Sorry.
Kill all the roses.
Yeah. And then she throws the jewel in at the end. What the fuck? Like, come on.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I wrote a Google+ post/rant about a similar topic a couple of weeks ago that we will link to in the show notes, because there's actually some really good comments from some of our listeners that are on that Google+ post. So if you guys want to talk to us about this topic, then feel free to hop on there and join the conversation. But Ryan, there's a couple of things I want to touch on before we finish is... I was just wondering if you had any in-game experiences with people where you thought, like, you know, whether they were people you knew or not, where you thought that, oh my God, this guy's actually kind of a crazy person, and I'm kind of worried that he might take this outside of the game. He or she might take this outside into the real world.
Not really. Sort of like the opposite. And I think you could probably, you're familiar with this too. Like, you know, just people who have a bad day and then they go on Xbox Live and, you know, get really enthusiastic when they, you know, pull off that shotgun kill. And it's like, I don't automatically assume, man, he's going to go crazy tonight. He's just had a rough day and he wants to blow off some steam.
Which is another way that I definitely use games, is like if I've had a bad day and I just want to totally escape, then that's what I do. I go and, you know, like drive a car and blow stuff up with Swick, or, you know, like I just like I go to my friends and, you know, vent to them and play a game at the same time. You know, like it's such a stress release and it's social. Mm-hmm. And it I can't believe the amount of wrongness in these statements.
Yeah, I mean, for every one of these whack jobs, there are thousands, millions of people who just normal people having fun. It's a hobby. Like even the psychotic killer said, it's like golf. You know, WoW is like
golf. I play WoW like other people play golf.
Yeah, that was a completely sane answer.
Yeah.
I don't want to give him too much credit because he did, you know, do some awful things, but...
I think, and so my second question, or, you know, topic-y thingy, is that with this case in particular, I've noticed, like, generally when there are things that happen, bad things that happen, and gaming is talked about as a cause, usually it's a one-off statement, usually by the prosecution or by the media that just kind of says, oh, and he played a lot of video games, so that was, you know, part of the cause or whatever. But in this case, it's like they're bringing in expert witnesses. The case has been going on for about a month now, I think. And this is not the first time that we've heard about it. We've heard of him playing WoW. We've heard of him playing Call of Duty and how he spent like 16 hours a day for a year playing WoW. And how this turned him into this crazy psychopath. And they keep coming back to his gaming habits. Like, why do you think in this particular case, do you think that that's happening?
See, I think it could be like two things, really. Like, the one thing is the common argument that it is a young medium that people like to blame because it was usually associated with younger people and people who, you know, just... I don't know, like gaming to people who don't get gaming kind of see it as this like, oh, I just thought that was stuff you played while you were waiting for your pizza, you know, just at the pizza shop, right? But no, gaming is something bigger, and I think it's similar to probably how movies were treated back when they were getting big. It's like, oh, or rock music, oh my God, it's the devil's language. And the other thing could be that, no, I lost it. It was really good too. But that was a good point, the first one there. I think it's just because it's a young medium and people who don't understand it like to blame this, you know, video games. It's bad for people. And
I think in this particular case, because it was so horrific, people are looking for something to blame. And not that I'm defending him in any way, but everything that he has said has been very sane. Like, not sane in that I'm agreeing with him, but sane in the way that, like, you know, I had these political motives. I totally understood what I was doing. I, you know, like, this was my plan and my reason, and I executed it, and everything happened. Like, I'm guilty, and everything happened the way I wanted it to. And I think people are having a hard time accepting that.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for the one thing in his life that they see as abnormal, and that is his gaming habits, and that he played a lot of games. And, you know, like, that's the only thing that they can look at and say, this doesn't make sense, or this isn't normal to my life, so therefore this must be the cause of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Or what he did.
And I'm glad you said that, because that was kind of what entered and left my mind almost instantly. But yeah, you're right. You know, I'm giving you full credit because I dropped the ball on that one. Yeah, these people are scared. Like, if this guy comes at it from such a rationale and you know, seems to be able to explain, even what he did was super wrong, no one should ever do that or ever use those motives to do things like that. I mean, write a letter. God. You know, but they're like, someone cannot have this thought process and do these actions. It's got to be something. Blame video games, blame rock music, blame,
right.
You know, I don't know, just voices in his head.
Yes. Yeah, so, on this topic, because it is so controversial and a very serious topic, we're taking a very serious spin on the gamers in this week. We would really like to hear from you. And there's a number of ways that you can do that. You can always leave us an iTunes review. We don't actually have any listener feedback this week, but if you want to get your hands on one of our fancy Diablo 3 trial codes, feel free to contact the show and let us know what you think. If you would like to connect with us, you can do so by emailing the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. You can find Ryan at rmurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and we are also on Google+. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and our fancy schmancy logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
You're supposed to record as soon as we go live, man. What's wrong with you?
Plenty of things.
Jeez, I'm gone 1 week and things just go to shit.
What does ODST stand for?
Oh, you'll love it. It has Nathan Fillion in it.
Yay!
And
oh my god, yeah, I was like raging on the couch.
Do scapegoats look like anything? Or is it, you know...
I always picture a goat on skates. I know it's scape, but, you know, same thing.
I had all these links and I meant to throw them in the dock, and then as soon as I was like cracking my knuckles about to sit down at my computer, just like... Someone zapped my power, yo. Yeah, thanks for coming out, everybody.